This is Matt Wells at UN News. In the wake of Hurricane Dorian, UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Mark Lowcock flew to the Bahamas on Wednesday to meet with the Prime Minister and other members of government and discuss the next steps in the relief effort. Access to the worst affected islands of Grand Bahama and Abaco remains extremely limited, and the death toll is expected to rise. Speaking in an exclusive interview with UN News' Conor Lennon, Mr. Lowcock described the scene as one of mass destruction.
Huge numbers of homes destroyed, huge areas of settlements, towns and villages inundated with water, debris everywhere, cars submerged with water. So scenes of devastation on essentially the whole bulk of the population of those two islands, Abaco set of islands with a population of 15 or 20,000 people, and then Grand Bahama with a population of probably of the order of 50,000 people.
Now, you've met with the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. The mood there must be pretty somber.
Yes, the Bahamas has never seen an event on such a catastrophic scale as this. And it wasn't just that the hurricane was a huge hurricane, much bigger than had been predicted, but it hung in a vicious way, really, for more than 24 hours over the set of islands, battering them with surge after surge of seawater and high winds and so on. And so the government, who are used to dealing with natural disasters, are naturally struck by the scale of the challenge they face. They have mobilized their system in an effective way. They asked the UN to come and help them prepare late last week, which we did. We had people on the ground from Friday. But, you know, more than 20% of the population of the country probably has been affected in a very acute, severe way by this disaster. And really a huge event, the like of which has never been seen before in the Bahamas. I mean, if you imagine in other places what it would be for 20% of the population of a country to have their lives sort of turned upside down and their homes devastated in a single event over the period of a couple of days. For the UK, 20% of people there, if it were to happen in the UK, would be 12 million people. Just imagine something of that order. And you get a sense of what the scale of the challenge facing the Bahamas is now. Of course, it's a country of a much smaller population, but proportionate to its size, this is really unprecedented and catastrophic for the Bahamas. Any government would be, you know, struck by the scale of the challenge. And what we in the UN want to do is just provide the best help and support we can as they meet the needs of their people. And that's the commitment I made to the Prime Minister and his senior colleagues in the cabinet.
Access is still very difficult, isn't it, in the affected areas? How long do you think it will be before you can actually get teams on the ground?
Access is very difficult. Most of the airports close to population centres are not usable currently. There is at least one airport in the south of the Abaco Islands, which probably is operable, but it's a long way from the main population centres, and the roads between the airport and the population centres are basically cut off. Some of the docks are also not usable. So the main means of access at the moment, practically speaking, is by helicopter. And helicopters have been collecting the people in most severe need, for example, of medical evacuation, and taking them to hospitals, given that some of the hospitals in Abaco and Grand Bahama are not able to function at the moment. How long will it be before airports are up and running again and the sea facilities are usable? It's impossible to say at this stage. We are hoping to have more assessment teams on the ground imminently.
Do you have an idea, nonetheless, of what the next steps will be?
Yes, there's probably about 70,000 people who are in need of urgent assistance. And the Prime Minister told me that his priorities were food, water, shelter, accommodation. He's also rightly, of course, focused on maintaining public order and security. And there's also needs for health and medical services.
We have had some casualty figures. Are you expecting these figures to rise?
Tragically, it is very likely that the confirmed death toll is going to rise. The Prime Minister told me that so far the official figures point to 8 people having lost their lives. But I think it is likely that the final number will turn out to be, I'm afraid, very substantially, potentially larger than that. Of course, our immediate focus is to try to avoid further loss of life. And that's why there's this urgent priority on food, water, accommodation, health services for people, so that there isn't further loss of life beyond that that's already taken place, even if it hasn't been possible to assess all of it.
The Bahamas is a prosperous country. What would you say to those who are wondering why the United Nations needs to be involved in the relief effort?
This is a huge event. 20% of the population affected. The government is taking the lead in organising the response and paying for the response. But any government for an event of such a scale would naturally look for international assistance. And the UN has a very important role to play in that. So what I would say is there's a human solidarity and human empathy and suffering we can all understand, which would justify not just the UN, but other donors as well, contributing to meet people's needs at this time of extreme tragedy.